Hi, Victoria Brown, student senator at large. Whereas it is the duty of the Academic Senate to recognize one who has given years of service, and whereas extraordinary service must be recognized when one has been a member of the Academic Senate for nearly all of her 24 years of service and the holder of the chair for 4 of those years. And whereas today marks her final meeting with this Academic Senate, therefore it be resolved that the Academic Senate of Queens College extends its most sincere gratitude to Professor Elizabeth Lowe of the Finesse Department for her years of dedicated service, and it be it further resolved that the Senate rise and express its appreciation with a round of applause.
So my parliament, please. So my parliamentarian tells me that, as usual, I've done something out of order. But you'll forgive me if I was in such a rush to give this to you. So here is a plaque in honor of former chair and 24 years of service.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. I can't imagine it's my last actual meeting here. I'll be just going back.
Thank you again. State of the Senate. First, I'd like to thank Phyllis D'Alessio, without which nothing would get done here. And then I'd like to thank all of you senators for being here, for coming, for participating, for all of the stuff that you do, and also the committee members, and especially the executive committee. So, with apologies to the English department and to the memory of Edgar Allan Poe, here is the state of the Senate. Once upon a Thursday dreary, students pondered weak and weary over Senate rules and laws. Suddenly, there came a tapping. Tap, tap, tapping on the Senate floor. First, the chair called all to order, then began the Senate's work. Discussions and motions, arguments and votes. Pathways, 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 pathways. Oh yeah, and some other stuff. Well, semester's over, time to go. Bid farewell to Dr. Lowe. Hope your summer's filled with laughter and you have merry lives thereafter as memories of actions on the Senate floor drift away forevermore. Committee reports. Undergraduate Curriculum Committee.
Thank you. Okay, first I'd like to discuss the minutes on the green pages from April 11th. There are some changes to be made. On page 1, item A1C, actually there's two C's, that's interesting. The first A1C, motion, no course, blah, blah, blah. We would like to withdraw that. Motion on page 1, item A1, first C, the motion that starts no course may be listed. The committee has voted to withdraw that. Clear? Okay. On page 11, item 11, drama, theater, and dance. In the from section list of courses, course number 272 is accidentally struck out. It should not be struck out, and it should remain on the list in the to read. So in item 11A, course number 272 should not be struck out, It should remain on the list of the two Reed courses for electives. Lastly, item 12 is deleted in its entirety. Item 12, which is EECE. With those corrections, move unanimous consent for the minutes of April 11th, 2013.
Objections? Debate?
Yes.
I have a question of Ken. On the first page, about 60% of the way down, 1B to read justification. The college option portion of Pathways is meant to be a signature of general education provided by the host college. What is the meaning of signature?
That's just a fancy way of saying that the college option is our part of Pathways. It is
so
something
that
defines us.
Right. Can it be stated more clearly? I mean, as you just said, that description that you just gave is clear, but the word signature is not clear to me. Anyway, okay. Second item, on page 2, item 2, math, mathematics and quantitative reasoning advisory committee. I don't see anything there.
They didn't do anything.
What?
They didn't do anything. The placeholder.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
You want to try the clickers?
Just in time. You want to try the clickers?
I don't care. Just practice.
Next time.
Okay.
Next one. There were no opposed.
Okay. Then the minutes from today's UCC meeting, simply put, the reason to bring this to you now is that today is the last Senate meeting for which things can be put on the June board meeting, which means they will be included in next year's bulletin and curriculum. So we are trying to clean house as much as possible and get everything that was sent to us sent through. Are there any questions, since this was distributed for you to read here? Move unanimous consent.
Objections? Discussion? Okay.
Thank you. I would like to remind the Senate that the UCC has an open faculty seat in Arts and Humanities, and we could certainly use another person. Go to the nominating committee page and nominate yourself for that position. Thank you.
Okay. Graduate Curriculum Committee meeting. Minutes.
I ask you to approve the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated April 17, 2013.
Objections?
Move unanimous consent.
No objections? Okay. Nominating Committee report.
Good afternoon. I move that the Nominating Committee report dated May 9th be passed with unanimous consent.
Objections? Approve.
Can I ask a question, point of order? So if someone wanted to nominate someone for the nominate committee next year, would that be now or under new business?
Okay. There's an open seat, but the Senate ends next week. So there's nothing that's going to happen between now and next week. The new Senate starts next week. So the new Senate fills the seats. Okay. Athletic Policy Committee nominees. Yes, they did. There's, if you didn't see it, it's up here. Is there somebody here from the... Ah, good. Okay. Sorry, didn't see you.
Good afternoon. The Athletic Department would like to nominate Francesca, Francine, Jorge Octavia, and Alexander Triano to serve on the Sports Allocation Board.
And because you're not a senator.
I make that as a motion.
Okay. Okay.
And ask for unanimous consent.
Objections? Okay. Thank you. USSC. Undergraduate Scholastic Standing Committee.
Good afternoon. As a senator and also ex-officio member of the Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee, I would like to make a motion to approve the proposed changes for appealing an earned grade. The report from USSC title, the new college-wide procedure for appealing an earned grade, and also the outline of the procedures are available on the podium. And I also like to introduce the chair of the USSC, Professor David Leventhal. He will entertain any questions from the assembly about the proposed changes.
Questions?
Yeah, I think what's happened is the Scholastic Standards Office over the years, and some of these have come to the committee, have been facing this issue of what to do about appealing an earned grade, and there seems to be some confusion as to what everybody's role is. And we've been facing this on the committee for a number of years that we get from deans. We hear, I'm not sure, can I do this? What am I supposed to do when a student comes? And so we reviewed the policy. It's written in a couple of different places. It's a little ambiguous. We reached out to department chairs, to the graduate standards committee, and looked at other schools, and basically tried to make the policy clearer and make sure that everybody's role was defined. We don't think we necessarily changed anybody's role. We might have changed what people perceived their role to be. But we've laid out pretty clear steps as to what's supposed to happen when a student wants to appeal an earned grade, and then what everybody's role is with regard to that. Is that enough, or do you want to do that?
Dave?
So I'm looking at the clear steps, and I just wanted to go through them so the Senate sees what is being proposed. A student doesn't like their grade. Well, the first thing they do is they can go to the professor and have a discussion with the professor, who can choose whether or not to change the grade. If the student is not satisfied, the student can go to the departmental chairperson, who can also make a non-binding recommendation to the professor to change the grade. If the student is not satisfied with that, there's also the divisional dean can be consulted. Now, if the committee recommends that the professor doesn't change, that the professor change the grade and the professor refuses, then a committee is set up by the divisional dean for each grade change of three faculty members. And those three faculty members will review all relevant evidence and make whatever grade determination it deems appropriate. So if out of all the classes on Queens College's campus, a few classes don't work well and maybe 20 or 30 students feel they need a grade change, or maybe 1 or 2% of the campus thinks they need a grade change, you're going to have hundreds of faculty committees reviewing all relevant evidence. Now, after that's over, the decision on the substance is final. But the student can then appeal that if they don't think all these procedures were followed properly by going to the Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee. So I sit on the CUNY Law School's Academic Standing Committee, and I listen to great appeals. They take a lot of time. So be careful and think through whether you want to have this a very complicated process and will involve many, many, many committees and professors if there are serious challenges to grades.
Yeah, may I speak to that?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that if I can. Obviously, very legitimate concern. We spent a lot of time considering what the implications would be. The Scholastic Standards Office and the committee, having dealt with these over the years, we figured that with this procedure, there would be very, very few, if any, that go through this process up to the point where you actually have to convene a faculty committee. What we wanted to do, what our sense was going through this, was the policy needs to give the students an opportunity to be heard, to have their cases actually addressed by somebody who's in the position to make sure that procedure was followed. Not to question the professor's judgment. It's clear that the professor's judgment is not something that can be appealed. But to make sure that the procedures have been followed. We also, of course, wanted to make sure that we made it very, that it was clear that under very, very unusual circumstances, could it ever be true that a professor would be basically told that a grade needs to be changed? And obviously there was some concern about this. Should anybody ever have that right? The understanding from speaking to various parties is that people already felt that that right did reside in the USSC and maybe other places. And in fact, I think what we've probably done is limit the extent to which someone can actually say, we order that this grade be changed, and only then by a faculty committee, which we felt was more fair. But obviously we felt that since grades reflect the school and school's policies and procedures, that the school has a right to make sure that those grades are being given consistent with school laws and school policy. But bottom line, as far as the committee, there's already this mechanism, not necessarily with the committees, although nobody's exactly sure whether a committee is required. And very, very few of these ever get to that kind of a state.
Further debate? Stephen?
Stephen Grover, philosophy. I think just Dave Field's question is alone enough to suggest that this is a really important issue which we shouldn't be asked to vote upon the very day that it is sent to us in email as a recommendation to vote on that afternoon. These are important matters, and we really should not go at them like this. We should have time to deliberate about them. Now, I understand that the USSC thinks that it's been working on this for years, and the rationale says that, and that there's been lots of consultation. But nevertheless, a deliberative body like this needs time to deliberate, especially on a really important issue like this. And I think there are some real questions about this proposal, and in particular the idea that if we create a procedure for very rare circumstances, it is quite likely that those circumstances will cease to be rare simply because the procedure exists. And that's what Dave Fields is expressing a worry about, and I think that's what we're all worried about. Another aspect of this is the decision that the three-person faculty committee should be appointed by the dean rather than, say, elected by the faculty. It seems a very odd idea to me in this democratic body where, on the whole, we assume that elected is better than appointed. And especially elected by elected people, is better than appointed. And I think there's some vagueness in the proposal which really needs to be kind of ironed out, especially to do with what exactly the distinction between a professor's judgment is and what a professor's grading policy is, for example. The idea here seems to be that somehow if the stated grading policy and the judgment could come apart in some way, and I'm really not sure that makes sense, at least in a fair number of disciplines. So I would urge that we, I can never remember whether we table these things or whatever it is we do, but anyway, we should deliberate about this a bit more before we vote on this.
Thank you.
Okay.
Question for Rich Fodner, Dean of Graduate Studies. I was, I guess I was consulted at some point in the team, I think it was a few months ago, as to how the GSSC handles this. Now, we do not go through the same degree of process with the three-person committee or whatever, but one of the things that I will endorse as far as this situation is the real layout of a dialogue that is going back and forth, simply because we have seen some cases that go to the GSSC where it basically gets tabled and then goes back to the chair and goes back to the instructor. Again, USSC and GSSC differ in a little bit, but again, I think the bottom line of USSC appeals is arbitrary and capricious behavior. So that is the student being treated in an arbitrary and individualistic sort of way, and usually this dialogue comes out, because very often a large amount of the problems very often is a person who A, either doesn't have a syllabus that he gives out to the class, or B, hands out a syllabus and then violates that syllabus. It really calls for dialogue. I'm in no way, shape, or form addressing what Stephen has pointed out as to whether or not you're being rushed to judgment. But I really endorse the thing of the back and forth. But again, you have to do it within that 1 year period. So it's a lot of students may not come up and do the appeal until the very, very end. And that's just random thoughts from this proposal.
Dean Savage, college-wide at large. How many cases each year for the past 3 years of great appeals has the USSC been confronted with, and in how many of those cases did it result in a grade change?
I'm sorry, in how many? Okay, thank you.
Is hearing, when it does get them, usually gets them
Kevin Ferguson, Department of English. I wanted to ask about the current policy, and I appreciate trying to clarify the policy. And the only place I could think of to look was at the College Bulletin, and it actually seems to be laid out very similar to what's proposed here, except for the fourth step, which is this new committee. But I wanted to ask about the second to last line. This is on page 68 of the new bulletin. It says the committee's role, and I think the committee is the USSC. Committee's role in the appeal is one of mediation or recommendation. It is not in the USSC's jurisdiction to change an instructor's assigned grade. So I guess a lot depends on the question that Dean was asking about. Will it be the opposite of what it says? It says clearly now it's just a recommendation or mediation, and will it be changing grades? And that seems completely the opposite of what it says now, so is that? But actually, that raises another question. So, five on the page that says the Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee proposal, number five says the procedures in this paragraph will be implemented A, automatically in the event that the instructor, and I took that to mean that steps one through four weren't satisfactory, then five would automatically raise the possibility of the committee. But what you described was that it would actually. First, there's another step where it first goes back to the chair.
In other words, are there some circumstances that we can? Can you? I don't know if I'm speaking this thing. Usually, my voice booms. But there are some circumstances under which the procedures, for whatever reason, may not be able to be followed to the letter. In which case, jump ahead to the divisional dean can go to appoint the faculty committee. But either I forget the professor's not available or whatever. So, in other words, we were trying to. And this is part of what the couple of years working on this was about. It did go through several iterations in the actual writing where someone would look and say, but what about if this happens and whatever. We tried to anticipate every eventuality and make sure that it doesn't fall through the cracks. And I think that's five's kind of a catch-all in that sense.
Further discussion? Please.
Karen Sullivan, European Languages and Literatures. I have a question about this. What do other universities do in cases of grade appeals? Is there a similar committee procedure where a committee can decide to change a faculty member's grade?
They were different. We did look to other CUNY schools, and we looked to some other local schools, I think, outside of CUNY. It's been so long. I keep looking at Joyce periodically because, frankly, I don't even trust my memory on some of this stuff anymore. But we did look at a lot of different schools, and we tried to do something that we felt was consistent, and we tried to basically look at what we liked based on our experience from the other policies and not so much what we didn't like. So I do believe that my understanding is that there was a lot of ambiguity in a lot of other schools as well, and that's why you heard from Dr. Bodner. We had spoken to him once or twice during this process to find out what graduate was doing at Queen's College. We also did that with other schools at CUNY undergraduate. We think that it's consistent to the extent that we can figure out what consistent is, but everybody's policy seemed to differ a little bit.
although point number five on the third page, the proposal, says that the grade can be changed without the professor's knowledge or without the professor's consent. Is that implemented at other universities or other colleges?
That's been implemented here. One of the things we were concerned about, of course, about the whole issue, you know, that most of us who are professors don't like anyone telling us what to do with grades. But the understanding from the old policy was that the USSC apparently has the right to do that, even though we didn't want to do that. And some deans seem to think that maybe they could sort of do that, or maybe they couldn't. It was a little unclear. I'm sure other schools had that. That other schools have that policy. And again, we really want it to be understanding of the independence and the autonomy of the professors. Nobody wants to step on professors' toes and tell professors how to grade. Bottom line, ultimately, Simon and I had a big role in this, and as a professor, hopefully, against my bias a little bit. My feeling was that on some level, when it comes to procedures, if a professor's giving a grade, for instance, because he sexually harassed a student who didn't accede to the sexual harassment, how could Queens College not have the right to say, sorry, but you're giving a grade with Queens College's imprimatur, and you can't do that if you are basically violating our policies? We think that under this procedure, that will very, very, very rarely happen. But in those instances where the professor is intransigent and everybody else, including a faculty committee of his peers, says, you're wrong, you're grading the student unfairly, blatantly, then ultimately this is Queens College whose reputation's on the line. And under those rare circumstances, I think Queens College should have the right, the committee felt that Queens College should have the right to say, yeah, sorry, this grade is not too good. I certainly understand that
Asriel, did you want to say something? And you can't, you stood up and people keep beating you to the mic, so.
Physics. I think it might work better if there are fewer steps, that is, this is now going to be the most persistent students who can make it to the end. And I think if it were simply simplified in some way, it would be fairer to the broader run of students who are not going to take something down to the very last step.
One of the issues with that is that there are several steps. First of all, there are several levels of the hierarchy. So the chair needs to get involved, the dean needs to get involved, or at least has under current policy needs to get involved. And we've heard some concern already about the faculty committee, and are you going to have 100 of the idea was to at least build in enough safeguards that it didn't often get to a faculty committee where, in other words, there were several people who could stop the process early on. We think that several of these steps are fairly informal. And it could be, I know in my department, students will walk into Barbara Sandler's office in Canabala and say, I want to talk about the grade or whatever else. And Barbara could try to smooth it over, say, talk to the professor, let me talk to the professor, let me make sure everything's okay. And the fact is, most of them are resolved at that level. If they're not, you go right to a faculty committee, or what happens if the chair isn't really doing what the department chairperson isn't doing what the chair should sort of be doing, then you have the dean in a position of authority. Again, I don't think there'll be a lot there, other than the dean will say to the chair, tell me about this case. Did you talk to the student? Did the professor explain to the student? Did you look at the, and then move on from there. And I think some of it will be, if the student has a reason to believe that somebody actually sat down and fairly considered the student's argument and then rejected it, we actually think that most of the office's opinion is that most of those cases are good. That the biggest complaint from the student is following the whole time, like everybody is passing the buck.
That's what having many steps does. It makes it very easy to pass the buck instead of having a few of people involved.
Well, we've tried to make it clear as to what each responsibility is to make it a little more difficult for that. But it's true. When a lot of people have, when responsibility is shared at any level, it's easy for everybody to just say, let somebody else do it. But maybe the fact that it's different levels, it's specific as to what each one is supposed to do, makes it harder to say, I'm not doing this, go right to a faculty committee. Certainly the deans aren't going to want to get back to the, I think, committee together.
Again, points of information. Bucks don't get passed because Charles Lloyd keeps a case either open or closed, just like I do when I convene the GSSC or get a complaint. The second thing is just an answer to your question, at least at Queens College. There have been cases where there has been a grade change simply because there was concrete evidence of arbitrary and capricious behavior that's decided, not by me, I'm the dean, I just convened the committee. The committee came to that conclusion after all of this back and forth and gaining a lot of information. And by the way, they then direct me to say that a grade should be changed, but I'm not the person who changes the grade. It has typically gone back to the chair of the department, and the chair of the department then changes the grade as a function of all of this evidence. So yes, it's a somewhat of a lengthy process. You have to keep the idea that the thing is open until finally you say. And by the way, in both the undergraduate and graduate scholastic standards committee, the last sentence of it says the committee's decision is final. Of course, then probably the provost, the president, the chancellor, and Barack Obama will hear about it, but I mean, I don't know.
Alexandra Villanueva, senator at large. Right now, students don't know, or many students don't know the process to go by about grade changes. How is this going to be told to the students?
Stephen?
So the text which we have, Stephen Grover, philosophy, the text which we have, is it meant to go into the Academic Senate policies in replacing what is currently there, which is what we were given as part of the package, I think, or is it going into the bulletin to replace what's currently there, or both?
Well, usually when we make a policy, it goes into the policies, and then from there it should go into the bulletin. Further debate? Okay, thank you. All right, Joyce, do you want to state on the second page there where it's be it resolved? Because I don't think you did you make an actual motion? I couldn't quite hear.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I make a motion to ask for the Senate unanimous approval.
On the second page, there, where it says therefore, isn't that the motion? That's I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay. And did you state that? Humor me. Read it. So we have a formal motion.
Okay. I would like to give a motion and a formal motion for the Senate to approve the proposed changes from the USSC to to change for the procedure for appealing an earned grade, and be it resolved that the current questioning grade procedures, also known as the appealing grade procedures, be rescinded and replaced by the following procedure for appealing an earned grade to take effect immediately.
Okay. Okay, so all in favor? Opposed? Yes, I think we do need clickers. Okay, instructions are up there. Oh, wait, we're going to make sure. Is it on? Yes, it is on. Was everybody's vote registered? Okay, the motion failed. Okay. Next item, old business. Yes. Some of those boxes, the black ones, are things that didn't work. Okay. Okay, just to clarify, there were a lot of boxes there, but not all of the clickers worked. So that's, and they were replaced. So all the ones that were lit up in green were the ones that where there was a vote.
We have 45 people registered, 45 votes.
Okay, just going to repeat what Dave said. 45 people registered, there were 45 votes, and it did not pass. So, old business. New business.
This being the last meeting of this session, I move we adjourn Sindai.
Okay. We've got the official word. All in favor?
Aye.
See the next Senate next week. Thank you all.